Welcome back to another Daily Walk. And today I want to spend a little bit of time talking about who really put Jesus to death. Now, I'm recording this Easter morning. I usually record these the week before I do the podcast, or I usually have a backlog of these. I just couldn't come up with a good solid idea, and then the week went crazy. And so I'm just like, I don't know. But the pastor made a comment in passing. I'm not stealing his sermon today, but the pastor made a comment in passing, and it was an excellent comment. I wanted to delve a little bit deeper. And so I wanted to look at this in a little bit more detail and talk about who really put Jesus to death. Because there's a lot of people out there, there's theologies that teach that Christ was put to death by the Jews, and there's people that say it was the Gentiles who put Christ to death, and all these things. And so there's this fight over it, and some forms of anti-Semitism boil up over the question of this. Now, even though the Jews, by and large, reject Jesus as the Messiah, so why does it matter? There's a lot of weird questions in here, but the Bible's very clear about this, and I want to point out. And so let's go ahead and chat about this. First, was it the Gentiles that put him to death? Well, it wasn't. And this is the passing remark that our pastor made. You know that Pontius Pilate declared Jesus innocent before putting him to death. So it clearly wasn't him. It wasn't a corrupt law system that just said, oh, we're just going to put everybody to death. And you'll find this text in Luke chapter 23, verses 13 through 15. Pilate summoned the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them, you brought this man to me as one who incites people to rebellion. And behold, having examined him before you, I found no guilt in this man regarding the charges which you make against him. Nor has Herod, for he had sent him back to us, and behold, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. Therefore, I will punish him and release him. Now, why is he punishing him and releasing him? Well, because everybody brought before him got at least a couple lashings, you know, common standard procedures. But it goes on further in 20 through 24. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept on calling out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said to them the third time, why, what evil has this man done? I found in him no guilt demanding death. Therefore, I will punish him and release him. But they insisted with loud voices, asking that he be crucified, and their voices began to prevail, and Pilate pronounced sentence on their demand, and he granted. All right, so Pilate says he's innocent, but he ultimately issues a sentence allowing a crucifixion. The Jews are now calling for him to be put to death. So was it the Jews that put Jesus to death? You would think that, oh, it wasn't the Gentiles. It was the Jews. Crucify him, crucify him. I beg to differ. If we go back into John chapter 10, where he's talking a lot about some in-depth theology, some difficult things to learn and to understand, and probably the less controversial portions of John 10, we find this in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. For this reason, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me. I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up. This is the commandment I received from my Father. Now, the reason he did this is he laid down his life because it was the only way to satisfy the propitiation for the sins of his chosen people. Now, God chooses the people whom will be saved. God, Jesus the Son accomplishes that salvation on the cross, and God the Holy Spirit seals that person with salvation, waiting for that day of final and ultimate glorification. Those are the types of things that that happen in the midst of it all. And so what we find there is that in the midst of everything going on, Jesus himself says, I lay down my life, and I'm doing this specifically for the accomplishment of the goal of salvation. This was a plan that they all had in the midst. And in fact, in further evidence that it was not the Jews or the Gentiles who put him down, Jesus himself had the authority to stop this. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 51 through 54, behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached out and drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword? Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 10,000 legions of angels? How then will the scriptures will be fulfilled, which says it must happen this way? So Jesus himself says, yeah, I have full power to stop this. I mean, I could clear my throat the right way and all these people will be dead. I mean, I can call it, like, remember it's one angel that put 185,000 Assyrians to death in a single night. One angel that went through and caused the plague after David counted the people in the end of 2 Samuel. I mean, and now we're saying, hey, I can get 10,000 legions here. Like a legion itself, I forget the exact number. I think a legion was it a 144,000? Literally like the same 144,000. I don't remember that off the top of my head. Legion has a specific quantity. That specific quantity is large. 12 legions of angels. Yeah. Thousands and thousands of angels. Like one of them is enough to wipe out humanity in a day or so, you know. So Christ actually had this. But the reason this is so important, the reason that Christ himself laid down his life is actually in a lengthy passage found in Hebrews chapter 10. We'll read this whole lengthy passage because it's very important. Hebrews 10 verses 1 through 10 tells us exactly why Christ put his life down. It says, "For the law, since it was only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, they would not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take away sin. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, 'Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In a whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken and no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book is written of me to do your will, O God.' After having saying above, 'Sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for your sin have not been desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law.' Then he said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this," so all of that, "by this, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." Without Jesus going to death on the cross, we would not have the capabilities of getting that glorious salvation. So we as people sin. Our sin is what separates us from God. And if we do not have a way of covering for those sins, we will find ourselves in eternal damnation. And that is precisely what happens. Now, the problem is there's nothing we can do to draw near to God. We are by nature all doomed. However, God made a way that those who place their trust in Jesus Christ can have their sins covered and can find redemption and peace and joy in the removal of their sins by the power of Christ. And that is really the ultimate point here, is to say, we all are sinners by nature. It is only in the power of Christ that we find redemption. And that is what is important about this particular message. With that, thank you for watching. Enjoy your Easter. Of course, it has already been passed by the time I posted this, so probably shouldn't have even said that. But anyway, enjoy your week coming forward into the spring. And I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.